Who do you know? How you answer that question may help to provide insight as to who you are today and who you will be tomorrow. It can also reveal something about our success or maybe even our failure in life, depending upon what the situation is. Today, my message is actually the second half of what I began to give last week. Last week, we were looking at Job chapter 22, and I read to you verses 21 through 23, which says this: "Now acquaint yourself with him and be at peace. Thereby good will come to you. Receive, please, instruction from his mouth, and lay up his words in your heart. If you return to the Almighty, you will be built up. You will remove iniquity far from your tents." And what I covered last week were the first four points that I believe Eliphaz, a speaker here, makes. And that is, become acquainted with God. And number one, you'll have peace. And number two, you'll have good. Number three, you'll be built up. And then number four, you'll remove iniquity from your life. But there's more to this great text. And that's in verses 24 through 30, which I want to look at today. Begin in verse 24 and 25 for this first point. Listen to what the Bible says. "By acquainting yourself with God," he said, "then you will lay your gold in the dust, and the gold of Ophir among the stones of the brooks. Yes, the Almighty will be your gold and your precious silver." So number one for today, acquaint yourself with God, and he said, have prosperity. He said, you will so lay your, you have so much gold, you can just lay it in the dust as though it's nothing. You've got so much, you just lay it in the dust. Big deal. You don't think anything about it. Now, I believe Eliphaz, the speaker here, really did not understand his own words. As I introduced last week, I showed you that while he spoke truth here, he misapplied it to Job because he saw everything in a physical, material way. If everything's good with God, you'll never suffer and everything will always be good. But that's not true, as I showed you last week. What he said here, like in these two verses, 24 and 25, may be true materialistically or not, as the life of Job demonstrated. Job had great material wealth, but it was taken away. Nevertheless, Job had another form of wealth that could not be taken away. And even when his material wealth was removed, he still had the true wealth. Eliphaz, the speaker here, failed to see that we will be rich in the Spirit if we know God. God made Job rich materially, materialistically. But God also allowed all those riches to be taken away, but not what was on the inside. Job still had his great wealth on the inside. So submit to God and watch your spiritual wealth, such as your relationship with God, increase mightily. Eliphaz said in verse 25 that God himself will be your gold and your silver. He is our gold. He is the source of all of our material blessings, and He is the source of all our spiritual blessings. However, God Himself is a blessing. See, it's one thing to say that He gives blessing, and it's another thing to say that He Himself is a blessing. He is the greatest blessing. Nothing surpasses Him. Anything that He gives does not surpass the blessing of Himself. But Eliphaz thought, and I believe that we still think this way in today's world, although the book of Job, it is believed, was the first book of the Bible written. And so the truth has been around for a long time, but we still think, as Eliphaz, I believe, did here, that we can only know that God is our gold and silver if we have gold and silver. Oh, I've got all these good things in my life. I've got all these material blessings. Therefore, I'm in good with God. But the Bible shows that's not necessarily true. And the book of Job demonstrates that. Job was in good with God, although he lost everything. So don't judge your relationship with God based upon what's going on in this life. Make the judgment based upon the person that you're becoming. Are you becoming more like Him every day? That happens when you're acquainted with God. Secondly now, verse 26. Acquaint yourself with God, for then you will have your delight in the Almighty and lift up your face to God. Acquaint yourself with God and delight in Him. Is that a thought that we're not familiar with? Am I presenting something that's, well, that sounds pretty radical. Delight in God? Enjoy God? Yes. Delight in God. I delight in you. Not just the things you may do for me. I delight in my wife, not just the things she may do for me, my children, my grandchild, and so on. Why can't it be that way with God? Why can't we talk about just God even if I don't have anything? I delight in you. You are the delight of my life. Look at a young person's face and mention the name of the person he or she loves. Especially if they're engaged to be married. Just say the first name, that's it. And see whether or not he or she gets a grin on her face. And you'll know how he feels about her, or vice versa. Well, what about God? When we talk about God, what is our response? Are we delighted? Are we embarrassed? What is our response? Delighting in God does not equal knowing that He exists or that we believe in Him. For I can know that He exists but wish that He did not. I can believe in God but regret that I do. Delighting in God means I'm glad that He exists. I'm glad that He is there. Delighting in God means that I rejoice for who He is. And so I accept with pleasure everything about Him, all His attributes. For example, the man who delights in the love of God but despises the wrath of God does not truly delight in God. The man who delights in the wrath of God but despises the love of God does not truly delight in God. We do not delight in God as we conceive of Him, but we delight in Him or we savor Him as He has revealed Himself in the Scriptures and in His Son, Jesus Christ. For you see, if we delight in God, if we know God, we delight in Him even when we have lost everything, Mr. or Brother Eliphaz. The passage that Dan read from Lamentations 3, which was the song that we sang just before he read the passage, is a magnificent passage. Jeremiah is looking at the city of Jerusalem that's just been wasted by the Babylonians. And Jeremiah's weeping. That's why it's called the Book of Lamentations. It's a funeral dirge. Yet, here's what he said in those verses, that the Lord's mercies are not consumed because, or by His mercies we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in Him. It's not Jerusalem. It's not Grants Pass. It's not Oregon. It's not the United States. It's not our economy. He is my portion. Or listen to this passage, Habakkuk. Wait, do you ever hear anything out of Habakkuk? Well, it's a wonderful little book, and I'd encourage you to read from it, especially the last three verses. Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17. I'll read down through the first half or first two-thirds of verse 19. Here's what it says. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet will I rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and He will make me walk on my high hills. Wow. That's what Jeremiah said. Jeremiah would have said, I know how you think, Habakkuk, and I believe that Job would have also, but not his friend Eliphaz. In fact, Job told his friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, earlier in the book, in chapter 13, what is, in my opinion, one of the most outstanding confessions made in the book of Job, maybe even in all the Bible. Job 13 and verse 15. Listen to what Job said. Though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. Wow, Job. Job thought God was the one slaying him. Now, we know the devil did it. Granted, God allowed it to happen, but God wasn't personally slaying Job. But Job thought that He was. And so he thought, although God, You're slaying me, I'll still trust You. You've taken away everything that I own, all my wealth. You've taken away my children. You've taken away my health. You've taken away the love and respect of my wife. You've taken away the respect of my community. My friends are after me, but I still trust You. Wow. When we enjoy God, we enjoy everything about Him. Therefore, I'd like to take three passages from the book of Psalms that we might be like the psalmist, that we might let the enjoyment of God be the focus of our lives. Why do I live? What do I look for? What keeps me going? It's my enjoyment in my relationship with God. Listen to this first one, Psalm 37, verse 4. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Psalm 42. And Mason also, I asked him to lead a song today that is based on this passage right here. As the deer panteth, I think is the name of the song. Well, listen to Psalm 42, 1 and 2. As the deer pants for the water brooks, So my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? And the next psalm, Psalm 43, verses 3 through 5. Oh, send out your light and your truth, the psalmist said to God. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. God is my joy, he said. And on the harp I will praise you, O God, my God. Why are you cast down, my soul? In other words, have you forgotten that God is your exceeding joy? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. For I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. Now back in verse 26 of Job 22, Eliphaz also said that if you acquaint yourself with God, you'll be able to lift your face up to Him. You will not be ashamed, but you can look at His face. When you delight in someone, when you're with that person, do you just look away or look down? No, not typically, unless, you know, you're embarrassed by something or you're shy or whatever. But it's not in shame. No, when you're with the person you love, you look at them right in the eye. And that's how it can be with God as well. All right, number 3, verse 27. Eliphaz said, you will make your prayer to Him. He will hear you. And you will pay your vows. So acquaint yourself with God and you'll have answered prayer. God hears the prayers of those who are acquainted with Him. Now listen to this passage. Isaiah 59. The Israelites wanted to know, how come God is not hearing our prayers? So Isaiah revealed why God would not hear their prayers. It wasn't a matter of His ability. Notice that. It's not a matter of His ability here. It was a matter of His will. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor His ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you, so that He will not hear. But his point is, with my sin forgiven, the path, the journey to the throne of God opens up. And now He hears my prayers and deals with them accordingly. And Eliphaz said there in verse 27 of Job 22, that then you'll be able to pay your vows. Without God's answer to our prayers, we cannot keep our vows or promises. Now think about that. What is a vow? What is a promise? Well, when I make a promise to you, I'm saying, in the future, I will do such and such. Well, I don't know the future. But if I'm acquainted with God, I'm acquainted with the One who holds the future in our hands. So He knows what my vows are. He knows what my promises are. And so if I'm in with Him, then I can make promises. Then I can make vows. And again, He'll help me in those things. Number 4. This is verse 28 of Job 22. Again, acquaint yourself with God. And He said, you will also declare a thing, and it will be established for you, so light will shine on your ways. Acquaint yourself with God, and your ways will be established. What you declare will happen. That's Proverbs 16, verse 3. Do you read the book Proverbs? Oh man, there's so much in there. I'd encourage you to, you know, I've even done whole sermons on that, more than one, where I've encouraged you to read one chapter of the book of Psalms every day, corresponding to the day. Today, read Proverbs 14. Tomorrow, Proverbs 15, and so on. You'll discover things like this, Proverbs 16, verse 3. So on Tuesday, this is what you should read. Commit your works to the Lord, and your works will be established. Wow. Your thoughts will be established. Or how about this one, Daniel chapter 5. I can still remember when I read this verse that I'm going to give you in Daniel 5. It's one of those things, and I'm sure we've all had those experiences where, you know, you read the Bible all the time, you read a certain passage all the time, and without realizing it, you've been missing something. And then one time you come across it and boom! It just like slaps you. How come you've been asleep the whole time when you read this passage? Look at this here. That's what happened to me one morning. And I thought, wow, I don't know why I didn't notice that. To me, this is profound. Belshazzar has not been honoring the God of Judah, but he's been using the treasures taken out of the temple of God for the worship of his own gods. And, you know, of course, that's when the handwriting on the wall appears. They bring in Daniel to interpret it. And then in verse 23, he reveals to King Belshazzar of Babylon, here's all the wicked things you've been doing. And then look at the very last part of that verse. He said, the God who holds your breath in his hand and who owns all your ways, you have not glorified. And that's why I saw the handwriting on the wall that told him his kingdom was numbered and God was going to remove it that night. And he did. Belshazzar died that night. Because he neglected to glorify the one who holds his breath in his hand and who owned all Belshazzar's ways. So how can our lives and our goals be fully established if we're not acquainted with the one who holds our breath in his hand and owns all our ways? Eliphaz said that if you are acquainted with God, light will shine on your ways. Why is it that our ways are sometimes not established? Well, because we don't have adequate light to see how to establish our ways. We cannot see the strong points and the weak points. But become acquainted with God, excuse me, and light will fill your life to establish you. Now number 5, and this is verse 30. Acquaint yourself with God, and he says, when they cast you down, and you say, an exaltation will come, then he will save the humble person. He will even deliver one who is not innocent. Yes, he will be delivered by the purity of your hands. So acquaint yourself with God, and be saved. Don't miss that first clause of verse 29. People will cast you down. And I'm thinking, Eliphaz, didn't you hear what you just told your friend? Your friend's been cast down. In fact, you're one of the people who's been casting him down. So see, Eliphaz spoke the truth, but I don't think he always understood what he was saying. The devil will use people. He will use anyone to cast you down. So stay acquainted with the Lord and exaltation will come. He saves the humble person, Eliphaz said, because heaven favors the humble. The humble are not necessarily the perfect. In fact, I think I can say all of the humble will say, well, no, I know I'm not perfect. So yes, as Eliphaz said in the last part of his verse there, God will save even those who are not innocent. When they sin and they repent of their sin and confess it to God, they know that He's the one who forgives and He's the one who ends up exalting them. But again, Job knew God. But Eliphaz is missing that a little bit earlier in Job 16 or 19. Listen to what he said here. And again, I had Mason lead a song that's partially based on this passage as well as something that Paul said in the New Testament. But in Job 19 and verse 25, Job had said this, "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth." 3 chapters earlier, in chapter 16, Job made a statement of his confidence in the Lord. Job 16:19 says, "Surely even now my witness is in heaven and my evidence is on high." So Job was acquainted with God. It's not that he wasn't acquainted with God and that's why all his things were taken away. The humble are those who know the truth about themselves and about God. They know that God is the one who does the exalting and that they themselves cannot do the exaltation properly. So they place it all in his hands. For these reasons that I've given you today, we confess that Jesus is Lord. I'm not the Lord. My family is not Lord. My country is not Lord. Nature is not Lord. Jesus is Lord. Have you ever said, "I believe Jesus is Lord," or just said, "Jesus is Lord"? Amen. Or something similar, "Jesus Christ is the Son of God"? Have you ever said that? Did you know that you can't be saved from sin and saved from hell and saved to heaven unless you say Jesus is Lord? Well, if you've not done that yet today, I want to encourage you to say it. Now, if you say it because you really believe it, something else very special can also happen. You can be baptized into Jesus Christ. See, there was a man one time who indicated that he believed everything that was being preached to him. And so the man, when he saw water, said, "What's keeping me from being baptized?" And the preacher said back to him, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he said, "I believe that Jesus is the Son of God." So the Bible tells us in Acts 8 that the preacher, or the man who he was preaching to actually in the chariot, stopped the chariot. They both got down out of the chariot, went down into the water, and the preacher, whose name was Philip, baptized him, immersed him in the water, and brought him back up. And the man from Ethiopia went on his way rejoicing. He was happy because he now knew that he knew Jesus Christ. That he was not only acquainted with the Father, whom he had been acquainted with before, but now he was acquainted with his Son. Are you ready to be acquainted with Jesus today? You've never done so before? Why wait? Come forward now as we stand and sing, and we'll baptize you into Christ.